Hey, welcome to Instant Reaction. It's the Blue Jay Banner post-game show. Jim Gruber, along with Ross Ferrarini, our producer, Zach Weaver. Jays go down in a tough one, 73-71. First, thanks for joining us. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and the like button to spread the word. Secondly, if you want to join us, and we'd love to have some comments, I'm sure you have a lot of comments tonight, join us. You'll see the email at the bottom of the screen. BJB Instant Reaction. Send an email to us and we will get you on the air. Jays go down 73-71. Marquette's going to be Big East champions. They are deserved champions of the Big East. I think they're the best team. Ross, I know you've been on their bandwagon the whole year. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really decide if the story of the game is one of three options. The calls at the end of the game, turnovers on our end and in the second half for Tyler Kolek. And I think I'd probably give it story of the game was Tyler Kolek. He just, I thought he manhandled us. He was the difference in the game. I think quite honestly, the more you think about it, I think there could be at this stage, there should be consideration for him to be an All-American. I mean, what he's doing for that team and is unbelievable. And he's been driving that bus all year. And I'm just utterly impressed with that kid's game. So I would say that's probably the main takeaway, although I'm very triggered by the end of the game and a few different calls.
Okay. Well, I want to hear about that because usually it's me complaining about the calls. So I want to hear about you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was, you know, obviously, you know, the one on Nembhard, I don't know. Cam Jones or – was it Cam Jones that he was guarding? Yeah, it was Cam Jones because he shot the free throws, I think, right?
Well, I've got it on the rewind here, so I'll be able to tell you in a second.
I think it was Cam Jones. I mean, you know, he falls down. That one I'm more okay with than, quite frankly, if you watch the replay, Baylor got fouled. I mean, that was – Cam Jones, was that Cam Jones? I can't remember if that was or not, Zach. That fouled Baylor at the end. It was either him or Prosper or Joplin, one of the three. I can't remember
who. That one I didn't get a good view of.
That was absolutely a foul. I mean, it was – he completely leaned into Baylor. Baylor sold the contact well. I thought that was a foul. I thought he should have been shooting three free throws. Absolutely. And then, obviously, the call on Kalkbrenner. On the rebound where Trey had gotten the rebound, I thought was really, really poor.
Yeah, did you see that one, Ross? Because I was looking back where the ball came off the rim and I didn't notice that action off to the side. What happened there?
I thought it was just a simple block out by Kalk, and you know, I don't think he threw the guy. I don't think he threw the guy. I don't think he did anything egregious. I think he just kind of, you know, they're just going for the rebound. You know, everybody's going for the rebound hard, and I want to say it was Prosper. Who ended up,
it was,
you know,
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I can add more context too, because I wasn't at the game. I was watching it on TV. I got multiple angles of it. He didn't even hit him on the block out.
Yeah,
Prosper hooked Kalkbrenner's arm and then went flying.
Yeah, and then Prosper just went flying to the ground and they called it. Called it late as soon as Trey got the right after Trey had even gotten the rebound. I thought that was really, really bad. I mean, the Nembhard one is tough because we got to, you know, you get a steal off it right off the bat, but I can live with that one. But man, I honestly, I really can't. The Baylor play at the very end of the game, I know it's a late half court heave, but God, that was absolutely a foul.
Now, I got to tell you, Ross, I was really surprised at that because I'm driving home and I'm saying, okay, Ross is going to say, hey, they never call that, so don't get there. And then Ross goes there. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I saw the replay a few times. I really do. I think that's a foul. I mean, I can't remember. It might have been Coach Gibbs. It might have been Grant Gibbs saying, why are you even – we were all in a text thread, and he's like, why is that guy even – why is he even all up in Baylor's stuff like that?
Right. Well, that's
80 feet from
one.
Him.
Like, what
let
is
him
he, shoot
what
it
is he
from
doing?
58 feet.
I mean, don't even put the ref in a position to potentially make that call. But yeah, the other thing that really annoyed me was, I don't know if you saw the handshake line. Shaka was.
What happened there?
Listen, I get it. It's a huge win. You basically seal the Big East for your team. I get all that. You come from behind. It's a massive one. I get all that. But my God, man, I mean, he was slapping our coaches' hands, like, you know, like he was expecting them to say, like, hey, yeah, great job. And like they would be fired up for him. It was really bizarre.
Yeah, I want to watch his play here. Oh, Nembhard did hook him. Nembhard did hook him, but I mean, there was just as much contact throughout the entire game. You know,
I don't know.
And to be honest with you, when a team's scrambling like that at the end, like I think you mentioned this one game, team scrambling like that at the end, the refs generally don't call it. I think the biggest problem tonight with the refs, if you want to go the ref job first, is the same ref made the calls.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt was on the same guy. He made that call. He made the call down low. He made the call. There was a call. Not the Kalkbrenner. Yeah, he made the Kalkbrenner call. But there was another call on the Creighton offensive end that Mac was – I think he was pointing out something that happened on the defensive end, and the ref just basically said, I don't want to hear it, almost shoved Mac away. Most of the refs in this league will listen to Mac because he doesn't go crazy. Right. And I think that ticked Mac off, and then, you know, things escalate from there.
Right.
I'm hoping to see the handshake line. Let's bring on, while I watch this last 1 second again, let's bring on Easton. Oh, hold on, Easton. Hey, Easton.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hang on a second? We got Coach on. We got to get Coach on. So hang on. Sure. We'll get all to right. you after the coach. Coach Casey Matthews is joining us tonight. I thought he did the right thing there. Nah, he just had his hands up. They're never going to call that. Hey, Coach, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
Well, it's a tough one, right?
Yeah, I mean, any loss is a tough one, right? But yeah, obviously there's a lot on the line. A
lot on the line.
But yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm a pretty positive guy, so we can't let one turn into two here. So we gotta find a way to beat a really, really good Villanova team.
I don't want to take anything from our squad because I think we're really good, but that they deserve winning the Big East. I mean, they play great. Kolek, if he's not MVP of the league, there's something terribly wrong.
Yeah. Usually the winner of the league, the best player, the winner of the league will get it.
He's the best player in his league, though. He's the best player in his league. He is. He does. You take him off this team would be 500.
Yeah. I can't agree with you on he's the best player in the league. I think he's the best player for them to be their point guard.
Well, we're going to have to disagree. He's the best player in the league.
Yeah, that's fine.
I've watched him every night, and that guy just wins. Those last two buckets he made, those are winning plays. To go around and over Kalk to make, I mean, just tremendous. Yeah,
I that's fair. I've watched every minute of every Big East game, and he's a really good player, really good player. So, the thing is though, he's perfect for what they do.
Sure. Sure. So
that's and you know what, Shaka has done a great job with that team, and hats off to them.
You're gonna upset Ross if you don't talk highly of Kolek, though.
No, I like Kolek. I've loved him all year. I agree with Casey. I don't know if I mean he's probably like I like what Casey said. I think he's the best player for that team. I don't know if I would necessarily say he's just pound for pound the best, but. He's done a lot of good things. Casey, I wanted some positives. The bench tonight. You guys got a lot of production from the bench tonight, which I know you've really been yearning for most of the year, and these guys have stayed ready and they've stayed focused. What did you guys see from the bench and the positives you took away as a staff?
Well, I think number one is they played hard, and that's in this kind of game, you know, if I know we're kind of not going there yet, but that's to me would be the thing that I'm – probably say the most disappointed of. I felt like we didn't match their intensity. We didn't match their effort for 40 minutes. But I think that the bench did. And so that's probably what I'm most proud of for them. I mean, obviously hitting shots and, you know, Sharif had a great defensive possession where he drew the charge. Like, I think more than anything, it's just like you said, they're kind of staying ready. It's the ability to put them in the game and not be panicked, like we got to get him back out of the game. You know, I mean, we saw, I think it was the second half where we had three of our bench players in. We go to a media timeout. Normally, those guys are coming out, you know, right? Our starters are going back in. Well, Mac left them in. I think that shows, you know, there's some confidence that's building there. And so, I mean, all that's going to pay dividends down the road. So, I mean, I'm encouraged with what we're getting there.
Well, let's talk first about the 2-3 zone. I mean, obviously, we gave up. I mean, we got off to a horrible start there. We gave up 18 points in the first 6 minutes of that second half. After that, I think we gave up 23 the rest of the half. The 2-3 zone had a lot to do with that. Fortunately, I know at one point they got a rebound off it, which happens when you haven't played a lot of zone. But what was the move to go to that zone? And I know Max said later, you know, he wish he would have stuck, you know, started a little earlier.
Sure. Well, statistically speaking, they scored 0.9 points per possession in their zone offense. So we knew, you know, that we could go to it, and it's not like they kill teams that go zone. So, you know, what we do defensively, we work really hard and practice it over and over and over. So you don't want to abandon ship and say, well, we got to do something else, unless you really, really need to. And sure, I mean, I think me and Mac, being the leader that he is and being self-aware, he'll tell you, yeah, I wish I would have gone to it earlier. It's the same discussion you could have about the timeout at the end of the Providence game. Like, you, Mac's won 500 plus games in his career. So, you know, it's really easy for us to sit here and say, well, you should have done this. And I'm just telling you, like, just like Kolek is the best point guard for that team, Greg McDermott is the best coach for this team. And so, you know, his decision-making, I never question it, because I've seen it work too many times. So, you know, it's easy, you know, like I said, to kind of go back to, we should have done that earlier. But,
I think you're misunderstanding me. I wasn't in any way, shape, or form criticized.
No. I'm not saying you.
I'm just saying what he said after the game. That's all.
Yeah, 100%. No, 100%. I'm just saying in general, I think that's the, not you, but just in general, fans, people, you know, even myself in some situations, it's easy afterwards, right? I'm just saying in general, I think his decision in terms of saying, I wish I would have gone to it earlier, that's Coach Mack being self-aware. That's Coach Mack taking responsibility. That's why he's the best leader for our team. If we talked about it, right? And I said, listen, Coach, like we've worked on this. This was a very interesting game for us too, because of the amount of prep we had, you know, going into this game. And that's no excuse, but
right,
you're playing a team that had a week off and we had 2 days. And so it's and our team plays a lot of minutes. Our starters play a lot of minutes. So, you know, there's a couple of things there kind of going to our disadvantage. But yeah, the zone helped us. The zone helped us for sure. And a couple of those rebounds were tough. I felt like the one we got a foul call, we got a stop, had the ball.
Oh yeah, that was a bad call.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough one. But you know what? We had the lead, pretty decent size lead in the first half. And we had a halftime lead of 8 points and let them come back. So, you know, you just can't get in these situations where you're counting on the referees to make the right call. Like, they're human beings. They work hard. They're not trying to make bad calls. And, you know, but when they do, it sucks, you know, especially when it hurts you. But, you know, it's, again, you shouldn't be in that position anyways.
Right. I'll comment on the thing with Mac. Mac is one of these guys that never takes a timeout at the end of games, and people criticize him for it all the time. But I mean, like I tell people, it's worked, you know, like you said so many times. It was just funny that game he called a timeout and then it didn't work. You know, it was just kind of odd. No question. They came out in the second half where Creighton's up by 8. They came out in the second half, and I don't know if you would say they figured something out, but they really went at Kolek. And he was dumping it off to Iguodaro, and it got him going. What did you see? Was it a case of maybe Kolek shading too much toward Kolek, or was it our guards letting him get too deep? What did you see there?
Yeah, well, they do a really good job of curling those screens, those pins and the handoffs, and and they put you in what we would refer to as, they put you in jail, to where you're stuck trying to get around and get back in front, and you have a second to make a decision. So Kalkbrenner's got to decide, am I going to help and hope that the guard is going to, what we call a veer screen. So is the guard's going to veer it and drop down and get in front of the big roll in, which is Iguodaro in this situation. Looking at the film, we needed to do a better job being in our gaps on the weak side on non-shooters. So a lot of the situations, if you go back and watch it, you're going to have Max Prosper, who's their four, on that opposite wing, and he can shoot, you know, he can knock down some shots, but he's not a guy that I don't know what his percentage is off the top of my head, but he's a guy that you can be in the gap and then get out of the gap and close out. And I don't think we did a very good job being in that gap. What we say is you can't make two movements. If you make two movements, it's too slow. So you got to be in the gap and then get out. You can't get in and get out fast enough. So hopefully I'm making sense. I think that's what we could have done better. Was it Kalk's best game defensively or our best game defensively? Not by a long shot. I think it's funny because of going into the game, I felt like we had an advantage that they hadn't played against Kalkbrenner. And now that I go through that game, I think part of that was a disadvantage for us too, because he hadn't played this system. And it's very different what they do. Their system works for their personnel. And Tyler Cole is a good player, makes really good decisions. But I felt like all the guards got downhill too easy. We got to do a better job guarding the ball. And we will. I mean, this team has too much. There's too much tape on this team to show that when we're locked in and we're synced up, we can guard and we can prevent you from scoring. So, you know, we'll get it figured out. So,
Casey, obviously, Kalk, didn't have his most productive night, but he didn't get a ton of opportunities. And I thought that, just talked from some people that were saying, why didn't we get Kalk the ball? Why didn't, Kalk needed to do this? We needed to get him the ball more. It's really difficult. Can you speak to how difficult it is playing against a team like Marquette to even get him the ball? I mean, they're so long, on the wing, and they do such a great job with deflections, and they're so active. And I thought they shaded a help defender towards Kalk on most post-ups really, really well. I thought it was just really difficult to get him the ball in good positions tonight.
Yeah, you're right on the money. They make you make the perfect pass to get him the ball. At least that's what they did. That's what they did tonight. And I think, Kalk will learn from this, but they fronted him and really worked to keep it out of there. And then when you try to go over the top, they had the weak side defender in the corner come over and try to steal it. You got to catch every pass with two hands because they're coming to swipe it. They're coming to deflect it. He's got to be better. He knows he has to be better in terms of, not enough shots. Like, that was one of the first things coach said tonight, when in our meeting room, was it's really hard to win that kind of game with Kalkbrenner only getting five shots. And, he is so much of what we do that, I think if we, hopefully we'll see them again, in the Big East Championship game, and, we can have a better plan and execute a little better. But I mean, I think in a lot of situations here, you just got to take your hat off to them. Their plan worked, and they beat us on our home court, which, it's hard to do. So you got to give them credit, and we got to be better.
You mentioned Reef. Reef did a tremendous job those two straight possessions on Kulik. Was there any thought of putting him back in at some point there when they're going on the run, maybe a little bit? I know he's a different dynamic on the offensive end, but sure. Certainly Kulik wanted no part of him.
Yeah. No, it's hard because if he's in the game, then one of those other guards isn't. And,
right.
And I think R2's got to be in the game for us just because has so many more reps running the offense. Obviously, Trey, the way he's shooting the ball right now, he's got to be in the game. And so then you're left with, taking out Baylor or, tonight we went small and played Bello a lot down the stretch, which helped us because he was really flying around defensively. So I definitely see, you wish you could just do, I'm not a hockey guy, so my hockey fans could be getting me so mad at this. like I've seen in hockey where you can do those substitutions on the fly. So again, I don't know much about it, but yeah, if we could do that, right, where we're on offense, say, you know, R2 come out and reef sprint down, that'd be pretty fun. But yeah, so tough situation. But I'm just happy that he's playing well and he's got some confidence, and it's gonna pay dividends for us.
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota. I don't understand like the changes in like there's rules, like it's crazy.
Yeah,
I can explain it.
I like shootout.
I can explain it.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, obviously the Big East title's pretty much gone here, but there's still a lot to play for. You know, it would be nice to get in that 2-3 spot, either one. With tiebreaker, it's probably going to be tough to get two, but certainly get in three. That would be a big advantage of Big East. You say, you know, you hope to play Marquette again. I'm going to tell you right now, Marquette's not going to make the final. So one of those teams is going to knock them off. So, you know, it's big to get – I think it's big to get two because then you get seven. Three, you're going to, you know, face a pretty good Villanova team that's playing well right now. But that's looking way ahead. You got to face Villanova Saturday. And they're obviously coming off a real high, probably their best performance of the year against Xavier on the road. So that's going to be a challenge in itself.
Yeah, they're really good. And the other coaches here probably tired of me talking about how good I think they are. So I think they're really, really good. And I think they're a team that they could be one of those crazy to even think about Villanova being a bid stealer, but they're good enough.
Right.
And we're going to have our hands full. There's still a ton to play for. I think for me, the most important thing is, you know, we've got to figure out how to close this regular season off to where we can still look at peaking at the right time. You know, a game like this, it's as emotional as it is and so much on the line. You know, it's, you got to be careful because you can't let, like I said, you can't let one turn into two or to take this one and make it two. So I think we got to get our guys in the right mindset going into Villanova, knowing that it's going to be a hostile environment. They're playing really well. It's not a great matchup for us. And so we got to play tough. You know, we got to be the tougher team and find a way to come out of there with the win. And then, you know, go into, you know, our last two and win those and go into New York playing really good basketball. You know, you don't want to be that team that won eight in a row. And then now you're, now you're struggling. We got to figure it out. Going to New York hot. But yeah, I know what you're saying in terms of the seeding. Seeding's important. And we're not scared of anybody, but yeah, there's some teams we'd rather not face in the first round if we don't have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Casey, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate you. You've been great all season. Really appreciate it. Your bus conversations have been awesome.
Awesome. Well, I like doing it, you know, and I appreciate you guys, and just can't tell you how much I appreciate all of our fans too, man. This arena's been crazy.
Crowd is rocking tonight.
So awesome, man. I've been here, this is year five, and it's fun. And we like having a team that these guys like to come out and ladies like to come out and cheer for. So we got one more. We got one more at home, and I'd love to have it rocking like this again, you know, for Georgetown, because that game matters just as much as any of them. So
yep. Kind of weird. Top four had lost at home all season tonight. Two of them lose, so it's kind of a weird deal.
Crazy deal, man. Crazy. It's almost March, so
yeah, it is.
We'll see.
Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You guys.
Thanks, Casey. Bye-bye. Casey Matthews, assistant coach Creighton, doing a terrific job for us. Let's get to some of these people. We got Easton on the line. Hey, Easton.
Hey, Tim. Yeah, I just want to go straight to that call at the end there. This is my take on it. I think if they're going to call the foul there, you got to do it for the inbounds because to me that it was kind of iffy. You got, if you're going to call on R2, you got to do it before the inbound. But like right when he inbounds the ball and I forgot who that was, but when the Marquette player, when he falls and loses the ball and we get it back and Cogburn makes that layup after the whistle, I think you just got to let it play there. That's just a terrible time to blow the whistle. People are going at Jeremy Anderson. Like, it's a crazy deal here. But on the game, I think we lost it right when the second half started. So about the 4 minute mark there, we just got outplayed again against Marquette. Like the first matchup, offense was stagnant, defense was below average. They're just a really good team. They proved why they're going to be the Big East champions tonight.
Yeah. I think they're the best team, and I think they've got the best player. I mean, tell me who's been better in the Big East this year. There's been nobody. There's been nobody. He showed it again tonight, making those last two shots. My goodness.
Those were just big-time shots.
Yeah.
Best player, too. Like, what can you do? Like, they won the title. That's winning the title right there.
Yeah. They went and grabbed it. There's no doubt.
Yeah,
but
you know what I like? I'm sorry, Casey. Sorry, Easton. 1 second. What were they going to the bench? What were they going to the bench for after we made that call on the steal, Nembhard steal? What was he? What were the refs going to the sideline for on that? What were they going to the scores table? I didn't get that. Why was he doing that?
Time, maybe.
Yeah, they were checking the clock.
Well, they did. He was over there for 2 seconds. I mean, that was weird. I don't know what that was all about, but I would say in watching the plays again, I would say the steal should not, the whistle should not have blown. There was contact, yes, but I would have let that go in a heartbeat. I don't think 80% of the time that's going to go. I don't think Baylor's was a foul.
Hey, Tim,
I disagree, Tim. I'm the opposite of yours.
The guy, if you watch the replay, he had his hands straight up.
I know, but he leaned into him. He leaned into him.
Yeah, but Baylor created that contact too.
Hey, Tim, I remember last week you wanted them to call the foul on Providence. Now we let them play. It's crazy. These situations, like.
Well, that was a different holy. That wasn't a 58-foot shot. Okay, first of all, so that's a little bit different when you're talking in close quarters. That was a huge, big, I don't know.
I just hope that they don't let Marquette beat them twice. So they don't go in to Nova and lose. But that's what I'm saying, because that can be an emotional game to come back from with those high stakes. So this is what I'm thinking. You try and get a 3-game winning streak, and then. You go out and put it out there at MSG. I don't know what seed is going to be the best for. I don't know. It's so.
I wouldn't want to be 4 because then you got to play UConn. Oh, then you win. True, now you got to play Marquette. That'd be tough.
I think we're probably the 3 or 4 seed right now. I think Providence will lose once or twice. Rest of the year,
lose once, but I think Xavier's going to lose at least once too. So there would be the difference. So
your goal is probably the 2 seed or 3 seed and. Getting a favorable matchup in the first round, because I don't want to play UConn or Nova the first game, because Nova tonight looked like vintage Nova. Like Justin Moore played his best game since coming back. That was an impressive win.
All right, Easton, thanks so much. Great call as always.
Yep, no problem.
All right, we got to move ahead to. We got tons of calls stacked up here. We're going to move ahead.
Just really quick,
I want
to point out something that someone said in the comments. This loss is equal to the Nebraska loss, gut punch. I don't think we recover. We're going to be an 8-9 seed again. I am going to vehemently disagree that losing to a top 10 team that just clinched the league potentially is worse than losing to a 500 in-state rival. I would put this more on par with the Arizona game if we're going to compare it to any other game that Creighton has lost this season. And
this has nothing
not
to do
to
with Nebraska. There's your worst call of the night right there. That comment is the worst call of the night, without question. All right, Jerry, what's up?
Yeah, I saw that guy in comments. You know, I need some Prozac, man. He's ready to jump off a bridge. Yeah, he's just making stupid comments. Obviously, everybody's upset we lost. It was a tough loss, you know. I was worried about turnovers, coming in the game. I felt good. I thought we were playing better than Marquette. Marquette was struggling, but – you know, those 5 or 6 turnovers we had coming out of halftime really hurt.
Those killers.
Yeah. I think we had 6 at halftime, and then I look up and we have 12, like 5 minutes into the second half. And that's how Marquette gets going, man. They turn you over and they get easy layups on the other end, and that kind of gets them going. And they took an 8-point deficit and made it a tie game, and then it was a dogfight from then. So I agree with Ross on the call. I didn't like the call when they called a foul on Prosper. If you remember, he made the winning tip in against Xavier. That guy starts at the wing, comes flying in, you know, attacks the bucket hard. I don't even know if he touched anybody, but obviously if you make any contact when you're flying in from the wing like that, almost out of control, and with Anderson giving the call there, I didn't like that. And he stepped to the free throw line and made two big free throws. So
he did make two big free throws after looking terrible at his other one.
Right. I just, you know, when your guy comes in from the wing and flies at the bucket out of control, you just can't give him the benefit of the doubt. If he bumps into somebody, that's not a foul. But anyway, I think the game was lost after the first 6 minutes of halftime. You know, we had an 8-point lead and we just turned it over right away there. I mean, we just gave it away and got Marquette back in the game. And yeah, that ended up costing. I think we ended up with 15 turnovers. I thought 13-14 was going to be.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Jerry, I just saw the replay of that. Oh my God. That's way worse than the other two calls. He never pushed a guy. Never.
Right.
Never.
You can't give a guy the benefit of the doubt when he comes flying in from the wing out of control. And then
it wasn't even that. He didn't do anything. The guy on his own momentum, like you said. That's a terrible call.
I know. That was my worst call. Oh, my God. You know, they gave him 2 points. I mean, Creighton gets the ball. They have the momentum, and you got to stop the game. Prosper hits 2 free throws, and you go from there.
Oh, my word. That was awful.
Yeah. Obviously, I thought what was interesting tonight, Arthur obviously got in the doghouse. He's had bad spurts before, but he's always kind of come back in the second half. I've never seen Mac bench him like that basically the whole second half. So it's going to be interesting how he bounces back against Nova. I mean, even in that St. John's game, he played bad the first half, but he came back and kind of got it together the last 5 minutes of the game. I don't know what was going on, but I mean, Mac put him on the bench and he never sniffed the court again. So I got to wonder what happened there. If it was, you know, he had some turnovers, but it had to be some defensive.
I thought he would. I agree with you, Jerry. I thought he would come back late because he tends to play well late. I'll tell you the play. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, what the hell are you doing going under a screen on Coley? I just, that's when he got yanked and never saw the floor again. Yeah. I mean, and that was when their run started. I think Mac just felt at that point, his focus just wasn't there and he wasn't going to deal with it.
Right. But I've never seen him get pulled, never come back in. Like you said, he's been pulled before.
Oh, I know.
Put him back in and sometimes he bounces back, but man, he must have. I was telling somebody, I was like, dude, that dude must be in the back of the doghouse because he's not sniffing the court. And it's kind of unusual not to have one of your most athletic players on the floor the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game, but he must have made some major mental mistakes to get that far. So,
going under a screen on Cole, it's a major mistake. Okay. Yeah. You can't let that guy. I mean, I just didn't understand that at all. Yeah. What are we doing? And it wasn't like it was a positional mistake. He would just look lackadaisical out there. He just kind of stood there and goes, oh, okay, you're going to shoot that? That's fine. You know?
Right. So it's going to be interesting how he bounces back. We're going to need him against Nova on the road. I mean, they beat Xavier tonight at home. And Moore, I think Moore was the leading scorer. So, you know, that team's obviously a lot better than when they got him playing. I mean, that's a big uptake from, you know, Moore playing versus, you know, Archie Diacomo's younger brother. I mean, that's a major step up. So they're obviously a lot better team right now. I guess you got to give credit to Marquette. They came and beat us at home, and, you know, it was a tough game. But, you know, they're going to walk away with the Big East title. They've got 3 cupcake games to finish out with. There's no way they lose one of those last 3, in my opinion. So, you know, to me, I think the interesting thing against Nova is how will Archer bounce back? I mean, is he going to fight back and focus, or, you know, some guys pout, some guys fight back? Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see what happens on Saturday with Arthur's. We're going to need him. We need him to play good down the stretch. So
yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Great call, Jerry. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Let's move ahead to Ed. Hey, Ed.
Hey,
was it worth coming back from skiing for?
Yeah, man. It was a tough trip, man. I flew to Indianapolis last night from California and flew this morning here to Omaha, but it was worth it. I do agree with Jerry. One thing I want to say, you know, to echo Jerry's comments, hats off to Marquette. I was talking to my old man today as I was looking for you in the Hilton bar. And one of the things that I said to him was, look, it's so great to have great coaches in the Big East. And Shaka Smart is absolutely a great coach. And he showed it again tonight. and he made the adjustments that he needed to make in order to win this game. And it's great to see coaches like him, coaches like Sean Miller in a losing effort tonight. So many great coaches in the Big East, and I think we're lucky to have that. It's painful when you lose to them, but we should be lucky to have those coaches here in the Big East.
Well said. Well said.
And then, you know, I have a lot of onions to peel, a lot of layers of this onion to peel off, Tim, and I'll try not – I know you have a lot of callers tonight. But, you know, one of the biggest things that I saw this evening was, you know, looking at – so there's in the first half, I think it was – I don't know if it was Nembhard or Baylor hits a three to go up 12, and Mack makes his usual – I don't know if it was under eight timeout – over eight timeout substitution where he puts King in, and they rattle off four in a row. And I think, you know, sometimes I, you know, Mac, look, he's won 500 games and I try not to question what he does because he knows what he's doing. But at that point, they get it to eight, they get it to five. You know, sometimes you just got to roll with these guys and maybe change up what you do on a normal basis. And that was really, I thought, a key moment in the game where I thought they were going to go up 12, 14, 16. And it ended up at five in the end of the first half. Now they got it back up. And then in the second half, you know, the turnovers happened and the kind of the bottom dropped out of it. But, you know, look, you got a team that that struggles sometimes with speed. And I think they get sped up a little bit. And you saw that in some of these turnovers, just bad passes. A couple of the callers have mentioned it tonight. And, you know, you're going to live and die by some of those passes. And it's painful to watch. But, you know, at the end of the day, I still think Creighton was the better team tonight, and they lost. They lost because they really lost their composure. And I think at times it was interesting to see Mac simultaneously get out-coached and then out-coach his opponent at the same time. You know, he got out-coached early. And this is – and honestly, you know, Tim, Ross, my biggest concern as a fan is looking at teams – so looking at Providence, getting easy buckets at the rim – and looking at Marquette getting easy buckets at the rim both times. And look, there were a lot of shots that were made tonight that were difficult. But both Providence and Marquette got a lot of buckets at the rim. And those are the concern. That should be the biggest concern for us as fans.
Yeah, college tough in there, though, like they said. It's a tough deal to, you know, and like you said, you got us in jail a bunch there. And we've got to clean that part of it up. Our guards can't let him get in that easy. But I think, I think one thing I want to talk about, too, and they didn't talk about it, it was definitely the turnover. I mean, that's what Marquette does. They turn the ball over. We talked about that last night, Ross and I did. And we did a great job in the first half, and then we just had, as Max said after the game, just some crazy, ugly turnovers. Like, we tried to dribble it between three guys and cross-court passes against this team you can't do. And, that was it.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm sorry, that is not me, whatever that noise is coming from. I'm sitting in a room, quiet. So, you know, Tim, I think you look at some of those, you know, it's sort of our own making sometimes. You know, we try to play fast. And there are times where those kind of fast plays work in our advantage. And there are times where they work in our disadvantage. And they definitely worked in our disadvantage tonight. But, you know, the other thing too, Tim, look, and I'm not going to belabor this. I don't think that the team lost tonight because of the officiating. But the Big East has got to do something with regard to this. You cannot have games decided, games of this magnitude, come down to controversial officiating decisions. And as you mentioned, the Kalkbrenner, I think it was a Kalkbrenner fourth foul, just was unconscionable. You can argue about the Baylor foul and you can argue about the Nembhard foul, but the one that set it up was that Kalkbrenner box out foul that was just
gave him 2 points. And gave him 2 points.
You can't have that happen in a game. You can argue the other two, but that one can't happen. And there's got to be, you know, there's got to be something the Big East does as far as reprimanding. But at the end of the day, I don't want to take away from Marquette. They played a great game. You know, Creighton lost this game. They could have won it. I thought they were the better team. I'm still curious as to why Mack left Paluma on the bench for so long. There's just so many things that I have questions about. And I know, like I said, you have many calls to take tonight, but love to hear the thoughts about some of those items and just really hope that the team can bounce back from this and get into the two or three seed. I don't think they should be afraid of any team. I know we talked about, no one wants to play UConn. You don't want to play Marquette. I don't care. I think this team can beat anybody. I'm not worried about that. Yeah, I don't want to play them in the first round. Fine. I don't care, though. They can beat anybody if they play their best. And they're better. I think they're the best team in the Big East, and I would put them against anybody. And they're going to have to play much tougher teams in the tournament if they get to where they want to be. So, so be it if they're the four. But I would much prefer them to be the two. I agree. And so we'll see what happens.
Ed, great call. Thanks.
Thank you. Talk to you soon, guys.
Hey, Ross, I'd like you to comment on what Ed said about what Ed, some of Ed's comments are.
Sorry, I was on mute. Ed had a lot of comments.
Yeah.
He's just, Ed's good. He's long-winded. He's obviously very analytical about the game and, most of his takes, which is a good thing. He knows what he's talking about. I will say that, his comments on the end there about Kaluma being on the bench, I just think that Fran gave them, I think, a little bit more in that kind of small ball lineup. I think, obviously Art brings a lot of very positive things to the table. Art also, offensively can be a little clunky at times. He can be, a little bit of a ball stopper at times offensively. And I just think that Fran, helps the flow and the movement of the offense so much better that I think it was a little bit more beneficial to have Fran in there at the end of the game. And Fran's good defensively. He's very underrated defensively. So that would be my main takeaway about the Kaluma-Fran thing.
Yeah, I would say of the things to talk about this game, I don't think Art being on the bench is – it's certainly talked about. I was going to ask Casey about it, then I let it go. But,
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, Fran played pretty darn well, frankly. He played pretty darn well defensively, especially going to that 2-3 zone. He was flying around. He's making some nice plays out there.
Yeah.
So I just think his point that we were the better team. I don't know where you would walk away saying we were the better team tonight. I think Marquette was.
I think we were the better team for 20 minutes, maybe even 25 minutes.
Right.
But unfortunately,
the second half we got dominated.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the game's 40 minutes. It is what it is.
We got taken to the woodshed there in the second half.
There were a lot of uncharacteristic turnovers from Ryan. And again, we talked about it with Casey. Obviously, Marquette, their length, they have fantastic length, especially defensively, and they really pride themselves on getting a lot of deflections, and they really bothered us in the second half there with that stuff defensively. And so that was a little bit surprising because obviously we didn't turn the ball over much in the first half. And then it really kind of avalanched there with the turnovers in the second half. I was a little bit shocked at that.
Yeah. We kind of seemed like we got a little bit tight there. Everybody started to, let's get to Mike first. Mike's been holding a long time. Hey, Mike.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just swell.
No, I've just been listening in, I'm looking at some of the numbers and, we're talking about Art and Miller and Frankie, and I even said to you, at the end of the game, hey, I think this is our brains lineup. We couldn't afford any mistakes the last 4 or 5 minutes when we went small and kind of went to that zone. But, yeah, looking at Art, I know people hate this stat. He was -8 for the game. Farabella was +6, and Miller was even. So, just not a good game for Arthur. And it's a game where we need, we're just talking about Marquette's length. And they were physical with us. We got up tough that first 7 or 8 minutes of that second half, and that was the difference. We finally matched it, but I think it at one point I had looked at the run and it was like 26-13 or something coming out of half.
I think we added up, it was 29-13 at one point.
Yeah. So yeah, they look like a team.
We're at 31-13 because they went up by 10. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they look like a team that wanted to win a tournament or a Big East championship tonight. And looks like they locked it up.
Yeah, they did it.
Did you guys hear Mac in the post game, by the way?
I did.
Yeah, he was hot.
Yeah, he was hot at the fans.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, he kind of stopped the interview, and I've never heard him do that before. And, you know, to his credit, that's not kind of what we want to be known for. So,
I couldn't see clearly enough the Marquette end of it, but man, did they pelt Jeremy Anderson. Holy God. Every t-shirt in the crowd was being whipped down, or towel in the crowd is being whipped down on him.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide. I got probably one half worth of rewatch in me before I go to bed. Do I watch the first half and go to bed smiling, or get myself fired up and watch the second? I'm kind of probably will watch the second because that's where it went wrong.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, there were so many things.
You know, and Ruth had a great point in the chat. That whole week of them resting their legs in preparation when we're going double overtime and flying coast to coast twice, you know, that could be a factor. Yeah, it well, and especially because – and I would have to go back and look at the first game. There, what they tried to do defensively was a lot different, you know – especially without Cochran, the first game and how they collapsed and really just denied him good looks and even just the ball in general.
Yeah, and we let Iguodaro get going. That was, you know, the first half he did nothing. And he was scared. Even the second half when Cock was in there. But when Cock went out of the game for that little spurt, kind of I think like Ed talked about, and they ran two times in a row with Nicola got downhill, man, he got going there.
Yeah.
And that kind of turned the game around, because then all of a sudden he got a tremendous amount of confidence.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Super disappointed because we had a real shot at winning the league here, and it got swept, you know, snuck away a little bit. But honestly, if we go out and finish business, win the Big East title, I'm not going to be that disappointed.
Yeah, I think that's, if you talk to fans, they're kind of the one we want. We've come so close to that Big East tournament. But, you know, on the flip side of that, even if we play decently, we could go out early in this tournament where we're sitting. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, this tournament is going to be so much fun. I mean, if you look at it top to bottom, I mean, other than, you know, DePaul, Georgetown, and probably St. John's, I don't see anybody else that –
say St. John's. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even I think Butler's capable of winning a couple games.
Well. All right, man. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Yep. Well, let's get them on Saturday.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Yep.
Ross, what did you think about the turnovers tonight early in the second half, in that first 5-minute stretch there, 6-minute stretch?
Well, we just talked about it. I was surprised at the rapidity of is that a word, rapidity, like rapid, like
it is tonight.
Anyways, how often we were turning the ball over, considering we didn't turn the ball over much in the first half, and I thought we were in complete control of everything that we were doing for the most part in the first half. So you know, I thought Casey made an interesting point about not matching their intensity. I mean, it did. You know, I think it's sort of human nature when a team goes on a big run like Marquette did, but it did seem like for, you know, at least a 5-6 minute stretch there that Marquette was really, really, really engaged and we were not. And, you know, Marquette's got a lot of mental toughness about them. And, you know, obviously I think that starts with Kolek, but they've got a lot of guys that really know how to play and dig in, and they made things difficult I just think they made things really difficult with their length. And we, again, it's a kind of sort of a byproduct of how fast we tend to play at time. You're going to turn the ball over probably a little bit more than a team that doesn't play quite as fast as we do does, but I thought we
got these were not.
I thought we got too sped up at times.
These weren't. Yeah, and these were half court turnovers. I mean, yeah. I also thought, you know, we've really praised Ryan Nembhard over the last 4 or 5 games. I mean, he's been playing great. I thought tonight he didn't do a very good job. The ball stuck with him way too long. We got in some bad possessions because of that.
Well, I thought we had a lot of really bad possessions in the second half. I mean, there were a number of possessions in a row there where we weren't getting a shot until the shot clock was under, you know,
right,
6-7 seconds, and it was kind of a forced shot. So it is what it is. There's some takeaways. Obviously, the season's, you know, not lost by any stretch of the imagination. I think everybody, if we can somehow get a Big East tournament win, I think, you know, and go on a run and get the second weekend and still accomplish all the things we want to accomplish, everyone will kind of look back on this and say, yeah, that game sucked, but oh well, you know, it happens. So there's still a lot to play for.
Yeah. And the other thing, like you said too, we got the bad possessions, and then, you know, Arthur was in the game too a little bit at that point as well. And we just, you contrast that with the last 4 minutes when we made that run. I thought the ball was really popping around.
Yeah,
we were really moving the ball. It was a huge difference. You could really notice it. And then we had better possessions. And you know what, like kind of to Casey, you know, he didn't really say it because he's not going to say this, but Kalk had to do a better job. I mean, I didn't think Kalk was fighting hard enough to get that post position. He was kind of just giving up with it. Oh, well, they're going to try and lob it over my head, you know. And then the second half, there's a couple times where he worked hard to get over into that position. So
I will say with Kalk, I think sometimes we do sort of tend to forget that, like, physically he's not the same as some of these other guys. I mean, he's still a pretty, you know, he's still a pretty thin kid. And he's obviously very tall. But my point is that a lot of these guys that he's playing against, you know, especially like tonight, like Iguodaro is a big, big, big kid, and he's a physical kid. And obviously the same with Sanogo. And so it's difficult for him to really dig in there and get solid post position.
Yeah. All right. Who do we have on here? Hello? Hello. All right. We will let you go. Yeah, it was, you know, there's a lot to go. I glad to watch those three calls. The worst call, besides that comment of that person about an 8-9 seed, was definitely the Cochran one. That was just egregious. And the problem was that Jeremy Anderson made all those calls. That's what I think really triggered back. And he's making that call. He's standing out at half court.
Jeff Anderson.
Who did I say?
Jeremy Anderson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A good guy.
Jeff Anderson. Yeah. But, that was definitely, and he kind of bowed up at Mac there at the end too. That's what got Mac triggered. There was a deal in the handshake. We were talking earlier about that. The guy in front of me started saying, "Did you see that?" And he goes, "He didn't shake. He did a blow by." And I totally disagree. He shook Mac's hand. But what was the deal going on there? I didn't see that, Ross.
He barely shook his hand. I mean, he was really fired up. Now, if what Mac is saying, and the guys were, you know, stuff was being thrown towards their bench, I can understand maybe a little bit more why Shaka was in kind of FU all mode. I can understand that maybe a bit more. But gosh, he was like, there were a few of our assistants. I mean, he slapped Huss's hand like this. Like,
but that, somebody said that Huss kind of not grabbed him, but said, "Hey," and kind of got in his face over it.
You know what? I got a text about that too, but I'm not privy to that. I don't know.
I would like to see what happened there. Well, I don't know if we were actually throwing stuff at the bench. I think it's when they walked in the tunnel. I think that's what it was. That's where I saw the referees getting pelted by some of the towels.
Yeah.
Which, you know, let's face it, it's, you know, even the band director The band director almost fell off his ladder screaming at Anderson. It was it was crazy. Yeah, and Matt's right. We don't need that. We don't need to be throwing stuff at the other players. I mean, they didn't do anything to the game. What are you doing? That's crazy. I mean, we shouldn't be throwing things at refs either, but I understand that emotion. But you shouldn't do that either. But why throw stuff at the other players? That's ridiculous.
I'm with you.
It had nothing to do. We're going to give this Zoom user one more try here. Hello. Who do we have online? Hello.
We got to get this guy off. This is clown.
All right. Okay.
Zach, do you know how to get him off?
I got him. I got him. Don't worry. I got him. Relax. I got him. All right. So we're scrolling out. Who's Unsung Hero Night? I've got two choices here.
I would say Fran, but he missed a point blank layup that
could have. Yeah, you look back now, that was two big points. That was
a really big difference. I don't know. I'm going to say Sharif again. I thought Sharif gave some really good minutes. He drew that huge foul on Kolek, and he had another really good defensive play on Kolek that forced a Kolek turnover. So I'm going to say Sharif came in and was unsung hero.
You know, the problem with that is he only played 6 minutes. I still puzzled by, like, you could tell Kolek it really bothered him. Like, I don't know why. And I understand Casey's point that, you know, you'd put in Reef, then you got to take somebody out. The way the ball was sticking, I wouldn't have been so opposed to taking Nembhard out for a little bit and running Reef in there and then switching him out with Trey maybe a little bit and, you know, give those guys a blow and go with Reef for a little bit. Because, man, in that first half, we went to that second team. We expanded the lead. It's easy to say Fran tonight because of the 19 minutes. But I'll tell you, I want to see more of Mason. I mean,
yeah. He's
hitting some big shots and some big moments, and he didn't probably do the job on the boards tonight. And I thought, for the most part, his defense wasn't bad. I know he's still working on that part of his game. But I thought his length, I thought, kind of bothered some of those. They were like, whoa, this dude's pretty big, you know, pretty long. And he kind of matched up physicality-wise with some of those Marquette players.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Yeah. We got to go get one on Saturday, though. So that's, you know, looking forward to Saturday. I'm with Casey. I think that's a very – now with Moore, got some games under his belt, I think that's a very, very dangerous team.
Yeah. I still saw some flaws in them tonight, though. I mean, there's still guys that, you know, used to get it done for them aren't getting it done at that level. So, yeah, I think they've gone kind of now the team we kind of thought they'd be at the beginning with Moore. I mean, obviously Whitmore is good, but Moore is the guy you got to stop, and if you can do that, then you're going to be in pretty good shape. So they're a team we have a little size advantage over, and that's back to Jerry's point with Kaluma. You know, he's got to get going. He's got to get going in a game like this where he's got some physical matchups he can handle. So
I agree.
One brief comment I want to make. I know we've been promoting this event a lot tomorrow night. The Bourbon and Blue Jays event, because of the impending weather, they've decided to postpone that. We will let you know when they have the date for that. Unfortunately, that it won't be tomorrow night. So if you plan to go, please don't go because the event won't be going on. I think that about does it. That was a great session of callers tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. All
excellent comments. So thanks so much to everybody. Appreciate it. Our next show will be Saturday. It'll be an early one. Gosh, it'll be 1:00. And then we can move on with our day. So check it out. We'll be back with Instant Reaction after the Villanova game on Saturday. Follow us, as always, at Blue Jay Banner on Twitter. And then also go to BlueJayBanner.com. If you're not a member, sign up. That message board is going to be lighting up tonight. So join in, jump in the fun. So we'll see you Saturday.
See ya.
Thanks.